Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Blaine for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back on Schaefer, at the wall,
take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling it, a bender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
James drives on Durant, falls down! Fisher picks it up. James slow to get up. The 5-on-3, Fisher to the basket! Oh, what a block from Wade! James down the other end now, pulls up and banks it in. What a turnaround. Oklahoma City had numbers as James is now limping up the floor.
How's everybody doing this beautiful morning? It is Thursday, and it is not in the nighttime, man. I'm not used to this, and I want to welcome to my show. It is Captain Frank Adrenan. Welcome to Southernmost Sports Wrap, Captain.
Oh, man, it's good to be here, you know. Very good to be here. Thanks for having me, actually. We both have some mutual interest going on, so it's kind of good to be able to discuss those things, you know? So, good top of the morning to you. Yeah, it's not nighttime, and we're not liking it, but we're here for a good cause. That's the Southernmost Sports Wrap.
Well, Thursdays have been, I want to say fun for the Zen Man. It has been very action-packed in sports, but it's been very consulting with my radio business. But it hasn't slowed me down. You're still going to hear me every Thursday night. And hopefully this will be the last Thursday or last day that I actually have anything conflicting with sports, because the Zen Man's favorite team, the Miami Heat, are an impossible elimination game on the good side of elimination, that is, and could possibly be putting away the Oklahoma City Thunder tonight at 9 o'clock. Just really quickly, what are your thoughts on the NBA Finals, and what do you expect out of LeBron James tonight?
I expect a man to lock things down, three things to happen. He could score 50 points, he could have a triple-double, or he could just have a whole lot of assists, a lot of rebounds, and not as many points, because I think now that he's so close, he's not taking anything but chance. He wants to lock it down. It's not about – he's not really worried about his reputation and any of that crap anymore, because he's heard everything said against him. He just wants it to be over with. So I think tonight he's going to lock down on Kevin Durant, help his teammates out, and just get it over with and do whatever he needs to do. I expect the man to be a man tonight.
You saw definitely flashes of it, game two. Just down the stretch, he had a great bank shot with, you know, the left, and then he hit big free throws. Last game, I think they're up by two.
Yeah, he's a man beast. There's no doubt about it.
Well, hopefully LeBron James is better than my phone signal, because apparently I got cut off. But back to what I was saying, you know, he's been showing signs of clutchness, something that, you know, he's been questioned throughout his career. But I think he's shown that, you know, I mean, I knew, if you watch the Heat as much as I did, almost every game of the regular season, he's not really, I mean, he has, like, lower points in the fourth quarter, but he's hit a lot of big shots that people seem to forget. So I think he's just going to, you know, he respects the Thunder. He's not going to want to go back to OKC for any reason whatsoever. So I think it is tonight.
Have you seen the stat that, and I know how much of those stats, here's one for you. The Heat, when they're up 3-1, they have never lost. I mean, they've never failed to close it out in the following game, in game 5. So I'm expecting them to take care of their business tonight. It's over.
Play yeah, well, because I already have tons of stats for my stat of the week, I'll throw another stat at you. In the NBA Finals, any team up 3-1 has won the NBA Finals. They had that season. Following six and it's not a huge fan of, I guess it is what it is. It's just part of the NBA, so I guess I doubt it'll change. But just moving on, it is I got a lot of top news going on today. Just interesting news today, they talk about Derrick Rose, just speaking about the NBA. April 28th, he got surgery done. He suffered his torn ACL, and it said about 8 to 12 months that he was going to be rehabbing, but they say he's ahead of schedule. Do you see him as a big factor next year? Does it even matter with the Heat success, even if, I mean, assuming that they win the title due to all the stats that we just threw at everybody? You know, Derrick Rose, that might be the only team that I see, you know, having any kind of impact to the Heat's success next year.
Well, I can tell you right now, briefly, two things. Number one, the Heat better enjoy winning the championship this year and next year, because the Bulls are not going to be a factor for the championship unless they end up getting another superstar to add to the roster. But, because, I mean, the ACL, regardless of him being ahead of schedule, next year's not that year. I said this previously. I knew the Heat weren't going to win last year. I knew, unfortunately, that they were going to win this year. And the only team that was going to challenge him was going to be the Bulls. But we see how that turned out. Derrick Rose was out. As far as next year, I don't see him really helping, because that ACL is going to be a full year. Okay, and they're not going to take a chance on a franchise player. So my thing is, if he gets back, we'll just see what we see. But I believe the Heat are going to get two in a row. And then after that, it's anybody's game. If Derrick Rose were Superman and came back really, really fast for half the season, then that could be another whole nother can of worms. But we'll just see.
Yeah, I think the only chance Rose and the Bulls have really got, I think, which they've been able to do in long games. I think it's possible, but as you saw, I think it was only 5 games that took the Heat to win, even on the road last year against the Eastern Conference Finals. So even then, I don't think it's a big deal. But just moving on, let's talk about baseball. How about Braves pitcher? Bright spot for them. Just a rough break. Speaking of praise, they also pitched the Yankees well after the Yankees had been passed straight. In order to switch into baseball a little bit, just talk about the Braves and the NLs. What do you saw? I mean, the whole year, these have been on the bottom. The Nationals have been up top, and everybody else has kind of been a little lopsided. Do you think that division is going to change around a little bit?
You mean the National League East? I have to tell you, for some reason we're having sound issues, and I believe that might be connected to our server having a lot of morning traffic because of morning shows and things. I'm not really sure, but we're having your it's kind of breaking up a little bit, so pardon me if I happen to ask things back of you during this time. But I believe you were asking about the National League East. Is that correct?
Yeah, I mean, it was just the news about Brandon Beachy and leading the entire league, the major league, the ERA, and now he's Tommy John surgery. He's going to be done for at least this year. Do you think that's going to have any impact on the Braves? I mean, they you know, the Nationals being the top seed in the NL East and the Phillies being the bottom seed, just didn't seem like big news. I'm just curious, while we're on the baseball subject, if you think that it's looking around like it normally does.
Well, I think primarily the thing that needed to happen for the Braves was not necessarily letting him. I've never really known the pitcher to really carry a ball club just because they only pitch every fifth day. Yes, it was significant in the fact that he would be good for a bunch of wins, perhaps. But for the Braves, it's all about what happened last night, and that is Jason Hayward. Now, when he's swinging the bat well, the Braves are good to go. And if anything, they just need more consistency. Even their manager, Freddy Gonzalez, said as much. But in that division, I'm saying the Phillies, they're going to make somewhat of a comeback, but they're going to get squashed this year. This is not the Phillies' year. This is that time where all that money and all of that false bravado they have is not going to mean anything. I still tell you, believe it or not, you still have to watch the Miami Marlins in the end. You still have to watch them. I think, believe it or not, this could be the year of the Nationals. I don't think anyone's really going to stop them.
Yeah, I think it's the Nationals' year for the division. I do think if the Marlins can play like they're supposed to play, I mean, I know they had a record-breaking month last month with wins, the 22 and then win the month, but and this year, this month, not so good at all. But I think they're full of talent. Ozzy is a good coach for this team with a lot of knuckleheads out there. He's getting them in line. You haven't really heard too much of the players on the news, so I think they're going to turn it around and at least get that second wild card.
That's the weird thing, too, is having that second wild card. It's going to add for a lot of drama, knowing that you could scratch your way to a wild card and you could lose it in just one, in 9 innings.
at least it gives you a chance, though, you know. Definitely the biggest flaw in baseball. I think it has a lot of flaws, even though it's got so much history. For all these games and only 4 playoff spots in each league, just never seems justice. You know, you play so many games, and if you're 5th best in your league, see you next year. You know.
Yeah. Well,
Moving on. I know I'm kind of just jumping around here in top news. Celtics GM Danny Ainge says KG is considering retirement. Zinman says that's total BS. Never seen a player want to play the game more than KG. There's no way he retires. After the best game years in about 5 years, I think he's got a few years left. I don't know where he's going to play. Maybe he'll take a pay cut and keep playing for the Celtics. I don't see him being able to sit on the couch for a whole year and not want to play basketball, especially, you know, he can bring some help to any team, I think. Just moving on to college football, finally, they're actually considering doing a 4-game playoff. This is, I like college football, but you know, it's hard for me to follow it because, you know, all these games and you're leaving it to basically a computer to tell you if you can play for the national championship, no matter what your record is. I mean, I know you can somewhat pick your games, but, you know, some teams like Boise State, even though they would probably get trampled against a team like Alabama or LSU, but if they win all their games and there's nothing they can do to not win, they should have a chance. You know, you earned your right. Now, even a team like Boise State can probably make it in that top 4 if they can get, all their wins. So that's going to be a 4-game playoff. I don't know how the rest of it's going to work out, but that at least assures a, you know, a decent, fair opportunity to win the national title. That's the reason I didn't really follow it too much. I followed it, but I just didn't really care like I did about professional sports. But I think I'm going to start caring a little more. I am a big FIU fan, and I think we're far away from this. But it's definitely good to see the four-game playoff. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this is going to sound crazy to you, but the way teams keep switching conferences and all of that, I think they should have four super conferences with four divisions in each conference and let them play each other within the conference so you have a winner, and then the winner of all the super conferences, which should be 4 to 8 total conferences across America, let them enter a tournament at the end. I think that'll solve the whole problem. But, of course, that makes too much sense because there's too much money with the bowl games. And that's why a lot of people don't like college sports. It's too complicated. College sports is corrupt, too, in so many ways. Don't get me started. This isn't my show, so I'm gonna make it brief. But college players should be paid. I'll leave that out there for another day.
All right. It's definitely interesting. Now, this might get you riled up a little bit. I think we all saw the Pacquiao-Bradley fight, and it's been a couple of weeks. I think everybody and their mama thought that Pacquiao got robbed. I'm a huge Pacquiao fan. But I saw an interesting video yesterday, really slowed down the fight, and, I don't know if this guy was a huge Bradley fan or not, but it really showed that Bradley actually put up a pretty good fight. He actually avoided a lot of punches by Pacquiao that I think the judges gave him credit for. Maybe not the judges, but the commentators. Just throwing it out there. I do have a Facebook page, the Zen Man Radio Shows on Ship to Shore Radio. If you're listening and want to see what I'm talking about, I'm going to be posting the video on there. Just check it out. It made me rethink the whole thing. It could have been really, it wasn't edited, but it could have been very, a lot of people saying, I think he just, the guy who made the video really just took every good play by Bradley and made it a short video, and it just looked like he put a good fight. That's for you to decide. I'm just throwing it out there. Maybe double check, and maybe he got what he deserved. It's hard for me to say that because I thought it was a total lopsided match. I'm sure you can go on and on about that. If you haven't seen the Captain Frank of Dread, check it out. It's on my Facebook page. And, it's boxing is such a different sport. It's so fast, and it's hard to really, if it's a close fight, how do you even get the right outcome? But check it out.
I will do so. But let me tell you this, coupled with what you're saying, it had to have been edited because I bought the damn fight because I was so in such disbelief. And I looked at it, and it actually looked worse than what I saw live. So, and on top of this, just announced, and you'll be seeing this later on today, an independent panel of judges in the boxing sport, they just rejudged the fight, five of them. And they ruled that Pacquiao won. They can't overturn the bout, but the independent panel, they also ruled that Pacquiao basically blew him out of the ring. So anyone can take video these days and slant things, because even during that fight, there were opportunities where Bradley did slip a couple punches, but he also, his head was getting tattooed. You never saw that with Pacquiao even once. So the biggest crime that Pacquiao committed was, if you can avoid it, never put it in the hands of the judges, especially when they're crooks. So, I'm going to look at the video, but I can tell you, anyone in a fight of 12 rounds like that can take enough little things to make it look as if something else happened. But I couldn't find anyone in this world who fought Bradley won the fight. Even he didn't think he won the fight, so come on.
Yeah, the Zen Man, believe me, the Zen Man will never be tricked that easily, but it did make me second guess. Who knows, but I'd like to get other people's thoughts on it. For sure. Just look for that. Look for the, you know, look for the Facebook page and, you know, check it out. See what you think. Just moving on really quickly, Roger Clemens, one of the best pitchers ever, I think, the Rocket, he, on trial for quite a while, he was found not guilty on all counts of accused of lying in court, saying that he had never used performance-enhancing drugs. He had a possible sentencing of 30 years in prison to be found guilty. I mean, that's a serious thing to lie in court. But he is... he's fine, I guess. He's not going to go to any more jail time or prison time. But it's from what I heard on ESPN, it's very doubtful that he's going to be in the Hall of Fame, or at least in the first go-around. So we'll see what happens with him on all that. Just moving on, the Washington Wizards acquire Mecca Okafor and Trevor Ariza from the New Orleans Hornets. Decent offseason move for the Wizards, who are one of the worst teams. But I think John Wall is a very good point guard, and I think they have a lot of hope. I guess in the Eastern Conference, there's always a lot of hope for making the playoffs, at least for a number 7 or 8 seed. So maybe that's all they're trying to do. And like I talked about a little bit about the Miami Heat, obviously I'll be getting into that a little bit later. But they do win Tuesday night, taking commanding 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals versus Thunder. LeBron James sitting out for the remaining 2 minutes two nights ago with extreme cramps. He is expected to play tonight, though, game 5, the home possibly clinched the championship. So, you know, you knew he'd play. I wasn't too scared when I saw him on the ground. I mean, I was for, you know, obviously a split second. He's our best player. We need him. But he seemed very calm. I could just tell he probably was cramps. But hopefully we eat some more watermelon tonight and stay away from that. And I'm also, this is really irritating. It's another one of those baseball things. I think this is just any sport when you see something like this. Tuesday night, pitcher Joel Peralta for the Rays was ejected after finding some pine tar in his glove. It is illegal, but it's done a lot. Davey Johnson for the Nationals used to coach Peralta and knew that he likes pine tar. So he asked the umpire, Peralta, who now plays for the Rays, he asked the umpire to check Peralta, and then he was ejected, and now he can face suspension. Madden, the coach of the Rays, was upset. He thinks it's complete BS. Bad sportsmanship. I totally agree. How do you do that to a guy? I mean, you know it's backstabbing. And for what? Just to get another pitcher? It's not. I mean, how much are you really – who knows, that pitcher could have come out and had a bad outing. Are you really going to sacrifice, you know, your good name for that? I mean, I look at the coach, and, you know, how do you do a guy? I mean, maybe Peralta was a total asshole in the locker room. I have no idea, but I just think it's bad sportsmanship on his part. But, you know, sometimes you just do what you have to do to win. You know, the Nationals, I guess, are really trying to win this division. I don't know. But that's that. Speaking of baseball, Roy Oswalt, he will debut for the Rangers on Friday. Longtime Astros pitcher, played a little bit for the Phillies, and now he should have a good shot at a title with the Rangers. And last thing, Vikings say they will not trade Percy Harvin. I don't know, I guess it's a big talk, he's missing training camp. But they are pretty certain that he will stay on the Vikings, even though the Vikings need a lot of help. And just even talking about football, can't wait for that season to start. And we'll definitely get some more news as the season progresses. And normally this is my hockey segment, but not too much hockey going on. The Kings are still celebrating their victory, their first victory, first championship in their franchise. Did you know... you know, watching these late-night shows, actually, they had the Kings on. Did you know that every team or every teammate on the winning squad gets a whole day with the cup?
Absolutely, I did because I lived in Detroit for a number of years and I moved to Chicago. So, yeah, when it comes to that cup, I've seen it a couple of times. Different guys taking it to their homes and otherwise. And, I mean, the cup itself is so funny because it showed up in bars in Detroit. And
sure.
I mean, it's like you go to a bar and then right after the bar stool was the friggin' Stanley Cup. I mean, how weird is that? But, yeah. I mean, and the thing is, even if you live in another country, they have a guy whose job is security of the cup, and he takes it around to each person's location. It's weird.
Oh, just to make sure, there is only one cup, and I guess every time a team wins, they engrave their name, and the cup is now with Los Angeles, correct? I mean, I know that, but, yeah, so I heard that there's not going to be, I mean, eventually are they going to run out of, how much space is left to put more teams' names on the cup?
Well, there's plenty of room to put teams' names, because not each individual person gets the name of the cup, it's the franchise, but there's plenty of room on the cup.
All right, well, that's a problem for maybe a century from now. But if anybody remembers that, remember the Zen Man said it might be an issue. But moving on, let's talk about the NBA Finals, obviously. Now, the Zen Man put in some work last night. Leave it to basketballreference.com, ESPN.com, NBA.com. Nobody has danced for the Finals. And I'm not talking about each game individually. Oh, they had that, but they didn't have all the games combined in averages. I had to know. So the Zen Man took out the calculator. And here's what I have. Points for game leaders for both teams. Durant leading the finals with 30.3 points per game. LeBron James is second with 29.3 points per game. Westbrook, even though he had a 43-point game, he is averaging 29 points per game. Wade at 23.3. Battier, surprisingly, is fifth on the list at 11.8. James Harden, only 10.8 points per game. That might be a big issue why they are down 3-1. Chalmers, 10.5 points per game. And Chris Bosh, only 10 points per game. He came off the bench, I believe, for the first two games. But that is their points per game. What is your, I mean, looking at that alone, what's more surprising, Battier's success, even though it's only 11.8, but he's obviously come up really huge, or would you say Harden at 10.8 points per game? I mean, or just anything that I mentioned. I mean, what kind of stands out to you?
Well, to be honest, none of it stands out, because for the Miami Heat to really win the title, it was going to take at least two, if not three, individuals to play really, really well. You've seen Battier and his assault on three-point shots, and then you take Mario Chalmers. They needed him the last game, and he stepped forward, and he did his thing. I knew LeBron James was going to be steady, and the fact that he's not averaging 30 points, people are going to say, well, no, he's decreased. No, he's gotten better, because were it not for that cramp, I'm pretty sure we would have seen a triple-double out of him. And he's doing whatever needs to happen to win. As far as Durant, the foul trouble has brought him back. Westbrook, yeah, he had 43 points, but he had some real stinkers. And with James Harden, they've been keeping him in foul trouble and making him work on the defensive end. So he's drawn the assignment of Wade quite a bit. So that doesn't surprise me. That was one of the things that the Heat had to do in order to win, was to they needed to neutralize at least one of the Thunder's big three, and they've done that. So the only thing that surprises me is, and yes, I'm going to say this, in case you're listening, Angus, yes, the Heat should have swept the thing, honestly. They should have swept this series.
Yeah, I wonder, I mean, obviously, I was very upset my team blew. I don't want to talk after game one. Maybe there was a little hangover from the Celtics series. That was definitely a very dramatic series. Like a lot of the Heat, I think. I mean, the Heat obviously bounced back. I knew they would. I mean, you know, the Thunder are a great team. It's not like it's a shock that they lost to them. A lot of big leads, though, for the Heat. I mean, each team got a big lead and lost it in the first quarter every game. But I'm definitely excited. I think the Heat just definitely wanted more. You know, you got to remember Westbrook and Durant are 23 years of age. I don't care who you are. I'm only 22. I couldn't imagine putting myself in the NBA Finals. It's definitely got to be nerve-wracking. But when it comes to NBA Finals, I just put it this way. You know, of course, if you're in the NBA Finals, you want to win. But it just takes, you know that the Heat, it's just their year. They want it so much more. Stats that I just want to say, but before I just go on and on, do you possibly have any stats that you want to throw up on the Southern Most Sports Rap Stat of the Week?
Well, I'm sure I'm going to have stats that you didn't probably consider, because everybody looks at things a little bit differently at times, so yeah, I'm sure there's some stuff I can throw out at you, so.
Well, I started off thinking about the Heat, and after they were on the brink of elimination against the Celtics, Game 5, have won 5 of 6 games and went from elimination to possibly eliminating another great team from the playoffs. And this sounds interesting, trying to find my own stats. Just go to basketballreference.com, a great place to check out crazy stats. Just looking at the playoff leaders, LeBron James leading a lot of these things. Here's all the statistics that LeBron James is leading in the playoffs. Now, I know that he's played a lot more games than a lot of other teams, obviously. The Knicks have only played 5 games versus, you know, the Heat are playing about 20. But LeBron James is leading the entire playoffs. Any player in minutes played with 939 minutes. He's leading in field goals made. 242. His second is actually 52 away with 190. Dwayne Wade is actually second in field goals made. Kevin Durant and Westbrook are 3 and 4. Field goal attempts, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade are 1-2 again. Free throws, LeBron James 165, leading that. Another Heat player, 3-point field goals made, Shane Battier. 39 three-pointers leads the finals. Any team, not the finals, the playoffs. Number 2, of course, is Kevin Durant, 1 behind him. Number 3, Mario Chalmers, with 31. I just really thought this was interesting. Offensive rebounds, LeBron James is leading everybody in the playoffs with 50. Free throw attempts, not a surprise, LeBron James at 225. Total rebounds, LeBron James, 213. I just thought, you know, it's my last show. Hopefully my last show with playoff games still going on, that I bring all the stats on the stat of the week. If you look at the points, LeBron James, no question, over 100 more than the next player with Durant. He has 671 points. Minutes per game, even LeBron James has 42.7 minutes per game. And he is leading in turnovers, 75, but he is leading a lot of great stats. I mean, how do you even question that he's not the best player in the NBA? Everybody's talking about, I think Durant might have been best player, the MVP. I mean, is he's good at one thing better than LeBron? That's points per game. Is there any other stats that Durant even comes close to LeBron James, aka the King?
No, absolutely not. Points don't mean a whole lot because you don't see Durant flirting with triple doubles and all of that. He's a scorer, okay? And he hasn't quite, as far as attacking the basket, he is a perimeter player, whereas LeBron can do it all. He can post you up. He can throw it up from beyond the three-point arc. He can hit you from the free throw line. He can lock you down on defense. He can block your shot. He can posterize you with a dunk. That to me, there's no question when you're looking at this man, 6 foot. Look at his height and his weight. He's a freak of nature. And one of the reasons the Heat are winning, because he has been aggressive. Someone must have said to him, hey, man, take it to the hole. Be aggressive, because you notice he's leaning in the people and he's getting the and-ones and getting fouled and everything else. That's the thing. The truth of the matter is no one can stop LeBron James. He can only stop himself by being too unselfish, by trying to pass the ball and all the other stuff. What he needs to do is what he's doing in these finals. You notice there's a difference. This year, he had like the best statistical year of any NBA player almost ever this year during the regular season. People should have known that he was a different guy. He finally has realized, you know what, I'm tired of like letting everyone else, you know, mess me up. I'm just going to do what I'm supposed to do. We'll use all my talents and we'll see what happens and what comes out of it. No, Durant, he is a great scorer. I mean, but look at him. A great ball player does not have the amount of bad games Durant's having right now. Did you see those bricks he was throwing up Tuesday night?
Yeah, I saw a lot of his shots. That's a big reason that they lost a lot of his shots. A couple were in and out, but they should have. I mean, they're getting their opportunities, but I think a little bit of the finals pressure is set in on them. And 23 is 23. I mean, I love Durant. He's a clutch player, but I mean, I still believe in him. But he missed a lot of shots. He's not looking like the Durant that you saw throughout the rest of the playoffs.
Defense is hurting him too. I've noticed that. They've taken him out of his – well, see, the thing about Durant, you would think that he could just fill the basket up from anywhere on the court, but if you did a shot chart of his shots, you would realize the Heat is taking him out of his comfort zone. You know what I mean? He's driven to the basket a lot more. He's gotten points off dunks and alley-oops, but to Kevin Durant, who could hit it from beyond the arc and everything else, they've just – pushed him out even further and done so many other things against him defensively. And plus, he's been so worried about going into foul trouble. And here's the most striking thing to me, Zen, man. Here's the thing that I don't know if you noticed this too. You remember how Durant never argued back or said anything to the referees or got upset? He just got up and played no matter what? Well, he's starting to bicker more now. He's starting to bicker more now during this series. They rattled him. Usually he's cool as Stuart Scott would say, is the other side of the pillow. He would just get up, even if you pushed him down or hurt him, he would just get up and play. Now he's bickering and complaining and being upset about foul trouble. That's not Kevin Durant. They clearly have rattled him. So he's going to have to figure that out in order for him to perhaps be the best player in the NBA. I will tell you this, he may be perhaps the best scorer in the NBA today.
There's no question. There's no question. I think he is. But, yeah, I follow teams, but, I don't watch any unless they're playing the Heat. But I think it's just tough to even – there's just a whole other thing about refereeing. It's tough for them. I know there's somebody flopping today. You know, it's hard to know. I mean, everything's happening at 100 miles an hour. If a guy flops and you didn't see it, you kind of just go by the movement of the player. I mean, I'm talking about Durant now. It's just there's a lot of plays. I think a lot of bad calls on him. Officiating hasn't been perfect, but, you know, the Heat still – I mean, the Thunder – that's all you talk about with Celtics. It's a big three that were in the game. But when it comes to the Thunder, I think it's kind of – percentage, which I'm going to get into a little bit right after this, is the stats. This took me a while to compile, actually. But just, you know, the Thunder missing shots, and you're right, he needs to kind of just go along with the game. I know it's not the same league, but Shane Battier, he doesn't argue anything, really. If he knows that he fouled him, he's fine. He raises his hand and walks away. So, but it took me a while. I had to go to each game individually, add them all up, divided by four. And after all this, can your field Yeah, field goal percentage for both teams. The OKC Thunder have shot 46.6% from the field. Miami shooting less. They're shooting 44.9% per game. This, you know, I was wondering, it took me a while to figure out why, but free throws, the Heat are obviously hitting a lot more free throws and a lot better at it, too. Look at your free throw percentage. Thunder shooting 74% from the free throw line. The Heat shooting 82.5%. I didn't compile throughout the regular season, but I'm telling you, that's a major flip-flop. Thunder were definitely a better free throw percentage shooting team throughout the regular season. Do you think free throws come down to just getting a little nervous?
Yeah, you know, and back to free throws, that was a major part. Do you realize that during that whole game, and during game three, that the Heat, they only missed 4 free throws the entire game?
Yes, they were 31-35. I actually do know that.
Yeah,
that's incredible stat.
And at the end of the game, LeBron was a bit tired, and he missed one. But he hit the next one, but they would have only missed 3. They were just calmly putting him down. The Heat looks like a team that just realized they look like a championship team. They know what they need to do. And part of it is hitting free throws. But, yeah. And whereas the Thunder was the best free throw shooting team in the NBA, and they look like Shaquille O'Neal from the line. That's terrible.
I mean, all respect to the Thunder. They're definitely a young team. But just, yeah, it's hard to win against a team like Miami. If they're playing somebody else, maybe if they're playing the Celtics. Although now that I think about it, that might have been a series to watch more even. Obviously, they're a lot better than the Celtics, but the Celtics, I think, are game out. But I think the Thunder would have probably beat them in 5 games. But moving on to the rest of my stats, 3-point field goal percentage. This is actually a great stat, too. The Oklahoma City Thunder are shooting 27% from the 3-point line. Miami nearly 39%. I know that the Heat have 3-point shooters. I can name 5 or 6 off the top of my head, not even counting. Well, yeah, we'll count LeBron and Wade, I suppose, maybe 5 or 6. What do you take of that? I mean, that's the 2 big weapons. I mean, if you're shooting better than the Thunder, win the Thunder win, because that's their game. I think it's incredible that the Heat are shooting much, much better than them. And you saw last year the Dallas Mavericks were on fire. I couldn't believe all the shots they're making. But they were just in the zone. Go ahead.
Oh, I have nothing really to add at this particular time, just because I'm just sitting here realizing that because the Heat are about to win this thing, that I had already won a whole case of Red Stripe, and I'm about to lose. But like an idiot, I went double or nothing on this thing for this year, and now I'm going to be out Red Stripe. What an idiot I am.
Let's just say between Evil Rob and Lazy B, I have a couple, I don't want to say any president's names. Well, a little Ulysses S. Grant might be coming my way. That wager was placed after the Indiana series. So the Zen Man has more than one way to be happy after tonight, hopefully. But moving on to the rest of my stats, offensive rebounds, the Heat actually got more throughout the series. 41 for them, 39 for the Thunder. Defensive rebounding, OKC has an advantage of 123 to 119. I mean, obviously, it's been very even. Assists, the Heat has 65 to OKC's 60. Moving on to steals, the Heat with 25, the Thunder with 29. With blocks, the Thunder with 22, the Heat only 10. I mean, that's mostly Barta Ibaka over there. And the turnovers, the Thunder have 42, and the Heat have 43. So those are your stats for the finals. You can only get it here. I'm telling you. I've looked. It's a lot easier to read something, but I couldn't find it. But that is enough about the NBA playoffs. Obviously, Game 5 is tonight, 9 o'clock on ABC. I'm excited. My boss took into consideration that I'm a diehard fan. He's letting me off a little early pretty much for all the games. So I get off at 8 tonight. Any final thoughts on the Heat or the finals?
Just that I am so sorry that we didn't have Derrick Rose to where we could have challenged the Heat. As soon as Derrick Rose went down, I said, that sucks. The Heat are going to win it now. And look what's happening.
Well, yeah.
That's all I have to say. Yeah, and second, and besides that, I just say I've seen a complete change out of LeBron James. It's not just in the basketball court. It's how he lives his life. It's a whole lot of things have changed about him. He's had some mature people tend to forget. Same thing with Kevin Garnett. You're talking about two guys who came into the NBA at such an extraordinarily young age. They didn't have a chance for life to catch up with life. Life just kind of pulled them into it. So, well, LeBron, he's still young. Sure, he's 22, but you realize how many years he's been in the league already? So, my thing is... Give the man some slack and give him his respect. People hate him and everything else. He made a mistake when he said he was taking his talents to solve. But I don't care what anyone says. He didn't orchestrate that himself. He was put up to it. So leave the man alone and let him play.
Well,
he's
that,
definitely
the
man. He is the most valuable player, period. Okay, because who... Okay, I hope you're ready for this quick debate. Who in their right mind doesn't realize that the Miami Heat, that is now LeBron James' team? It is not.
No, my final thought was going to be the second, if not maybe even a bigger reason why this happened was because Dwayne Wade gave him the team. And I know that, there's still huge contributions from Wade and Bosh and everybody else, but every team is surrounded by one player. It's worked around one player. And you can't do it with two people thinking it's their team, because it was Dwayne Wade's team by far for the last 6-7 years. But Dwayne Wade said, you know what, homie, you're a better player than me. We all know that. I'm going to be your counterpart. I'm going to be your Robin to your Batman. And after that, I think LeBron James did his thing. Wade's been a great secondary guy. Bosh is...
Wait a minute, what does that make Bosh? Alfred? I just had to throw that in there. No, Bosh, see, here's the thing. They all have deferred to LeBron. Everyone on that team has finally faced the fact, okay, we tried to be nice. It is not Dwayne. We love you. You're just not the same guy anymore. It is LeBron. He is the guy to take us to the promised land. And so just understand, I think the whole Heat squad finally realizes all about LeBron, period. And he finally realizes this isn't going to happen unless I take over. See, he couldn't do it by himself in Cleveland. He was, and he still almost won.
Yeah,
but now,
I told everybody
now,
that too. I mean,
That's
why he left. He had no help at all. Everybody only had one thing in my ass. He had to play 1 year after he was like 30-something. But he needed to find help. And too. I mean, you have the best player possibly ever, on your team for 7 years, and you don't help him at all. All he needed was a little bit of help. You already got to the finals. How much more help does he need? They didn't want to give him any. So, that's it. So, but just really quickly, I got about 11 minutes left. I just want to get really quickly into my top five plays of the NBA Finals. Are you ready for this?
All righty.
All right, let's get number five. Check it out.
Deflection. Five to shoot. Connors back to Battier. Battier for three. Way. Oh, he banks it in. Battier. It looked like it was way too strong, and it was. But he gets it to go for it.
Yes, sir. Game two hero right there. I was at the AAA watching that one. The road rally. Definitely talk that more next week. That was a great experience. Here is play number four.
In the half court.
Harden to Cephalosha.
And clog in the lane.
Cephalosha inside. Westbrook comes flying in and throws it down. The drive by Cephalosha drew penetration. No one puts their body on Westbrook. And like we've seen from some of the Miami players, these perimeter.
Yeah, Westbrook playing at a high level, man. He doesn't look like he's too scared. He's going to be a great player to come for sure. Like I said, he's only 23 years old as well. Moving into my play number three.
Drives on Battier, throws it down, Kevin Durant, and it's an 8-point game, timeout Miami.
And in transition, when most people come down, Kevin Durant keeps extending and finishes with a beauty.
For a guy that is as skinny as I've seen, he can drop the hammer, man. He's funny to watch, but you don't ever expect it. The great dunk by him. Now the top two plays, these stand out to me, man. Number two scared me, and this is why. He had a huge lead. It's got it down to 2 points only for the Heat with about 40 seconds left.
But that's six to get it across the timeline. Fisher on Wade, splits the defense, knocked away, stolen by Fisher. Harden ahead to Cephalosha, back to Westbrook. Durant puts up a three, bang! Kevin Durant makes it a 2-point game. They don't have to foul, 35 seconds remaining.
Well, Wade did a good job initially.
That was after about 5 years I was at the AAA, and we were all just happy. I mean, you're leading the entire game, and we're all just stunned. Like, what the hell just happened? He obviously did pull out to win that game, thankfully. But here is the number one play. You got to give it to my man LeBron. Hobbling on one leg two nights ago. I didn't stop him from making a big three with about 2 minutes left. Or 3 minutes left, I guess. Here's LeBron James.
James drives on Durant, falls down. Fisher picks it up. James slow to get up. The 5-on-3, Fisher to the basket. Oh, what a block from Wade. James down the other end now. Pulls up and banks it in. What a turnaround. Oklahoma City had numbers as James is now limping up the floor. James doesn't look overly concerned. He went down, stayed down for a bit. A block shot from Wade, and he got up to catch the pass.
And these are the plays that turn games. Good defense by Oklahoma City. Numbers in transition going the other way. Block shot, and then James gets a basket to put him up two.
Yeah, he is hurting right now. James with five to shoot. Tries a three. Bang! LeBron James from downtown.
Oh, those are your top five plays. Man, that was a great play by James. I love it, man. Whenever you see a clutch play by James, I get a little jittery because I know all the haters are out there going, what am I going to say now? But that was a great play by James. Hopefully there are more great plays tonight. And my last thing that I wanted to get into, I only have about 6 minutes left. I don't want to forget about the Major League Baseball. Really the only other sport that's going on right now after hockey's done for and NFL is still a few months away. But let's just talk about the standings really quickly. Just want to get you guys updated with everything going on around baseball. Things are changing a lot. It's, you know, within 1 week, you can lose seven games, and you could be all the way in the other side of the division. But just really quickly running through the standings, you know, the American League East, that's been up and down. The Yankees now have the top spot after a 10-game winning streak, losing the last two. They now have a 41-27 record, leading Baltimore by 2.5 games. Boston still struggling at 35-33. They're six games back. Going to the Central, Cleveland still winning that, only by a half game, though, 36-32. White Sox right behind them at 36-33. and a team we all think will probably be on the top of the division, the Detroit Tigers, are three games back. They've been back this whole year so far, but I definitely look for them to make a chance. But don't look down, the Twins, only 8.5 back. I know it seems like a lot, but they're hanging in there for a team that really doesn't have any hope, at least in my mind. I know a couple of our hosts, Lazy B, a former host of one of my shows, and Ken from Jersey, big Minnesota fan, so I definitely root for you guys for that reason. Looking at the AL West, the 14 AL West, it's pretty much been all of Texas all year. 5-game lead right now, 43-27. The Angels should give them a run if Pujols can be the second-half Pujols like he normally is. They are 5 back. And looking at the National League, I've been saying it all year long, I guess I'll keep saying it, the Nationals, best team right now, the NL East, 3-game lead on the Mets, I just don't have any faith in you. Atlanta, like I said, Brandon Beachy, big injury for you. They're 3.5 back. And the Marlins and the Phillies, who I think are the best two teams in this division, they are 7 and 8 back, respectively. And that all part of the 6-team Central, the Reds currently have the best record. They're 38-30, 2.5 on the Pirates. The champion Cardinals are 3.5 back. And, yes, your Chicago Cubs are 14.5 back. So I don't see the Cubs having a good year, as you will. And final division, the NL West. Dodgers will run away with the division with 42-27. Very great for Texas. Giants, with their pitching, they may have a chance. They're 4.5 back. Nobody else in this division is any good. Those are your updated standings. And as usual, every Thursday, I want to get you guys ready for the weekend. We have some more. The Tigers at the Pirates all weekend. Rays at the Phillies should be definitely a good series here. Nationals at Orioles. I love this series. You have two teams that shouldn't be where they are, but they're playing out of their minds right now. That should be a great series. Watching. I mean, I know it doesn't look like much, but normal years, it's about the worst series you can possibly put together this year. Great. Braves at Red Sox. I've seen the Red Sox play tomorrow with 2 games now. They're a scary team. You're 2 in a row. Good game. Twins at Reds. You have the Subway Series, Yankees at Mets. Blue Jays at Marlins. Blue Jays, it's a long travel for them. I hope the Marlins can take advantage of that. Indians at Astros. The Rockies at the Rangers. Brewers face the White Sox in Chicago. Cardinals at Royals, Cubs at D-backs, Dodgers at Angels. That should be a great series. Mariners at Padres. That could possibly be the worst series you can put together. And the Giants at the Athletics. You'll be seeing that all weekend long. And the last thing I want to get into before I end the show tonight is just your current up-to-date stat leaders. Looking at your average leaders for the MLB, Joey Votto is leading the entire league in batting average with .367. Melky Cabrera at .363. David Wright at .358. Carlos Ruiz for the Phillies at .354. Tied with him is Paul Konerko for the White Sox. Quickly, your home run leaders. It is not Josh Hamilton. I don't know what happened to him. He had about a 10 home run lead about a month ago. He is now third behind Adam Dunn, who has 23 homers. I'm sorry, but playing the best baseball he's ever played. 23 homers this year. This is Bautista, 22, tied with Hamilton. And then Curtis Granderson with 21. Ryan Braun and Encarnacion both have 20. Your RBI leaders, still has the lead on this one, 64. Miguel Cabrera, 55, tied with Andre Ethier. Adam Dunn right there at 53, and Jose Bautista with 52. And that is a quick version of your MLB update. And I just want to thank you guys for joining me. Captain. And the Zen Man got it done. I like to talk a lot. with Wisconsin. And we usually get into some long discussions. But with that, I want to say thanks for joining me. And any last words, Captain?
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure being here.
You guys, night. It will definitely be at 11 o'clock, not 9 in the morning. So join me next week at 11 p.m. Join the Captain. You guys are doing your show every Tuesday now?
Tuesdays, yes, you have Ship to Shore, the interview show. Chris Ream is on next week, and then Dreaded Sports Talk. And then you will also catch Vacation Radio from Paradise making the comeback. Just stay tuned to the Ship to Shore Facebook page to see what's going on. 7 days of entertainment now, everyone, so check us out.
All right, guys. Well, good luck to the Miami Heat tonight. This is the Sports Wrap. This is Zen signing out. Thank you guys for joining me. You're welcome. And with that, I guess, good afternoon. And I'll see you guys next week. Thank you, guys.
Take care.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Wayne for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
And he drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back to Schaefer, at the wall, gone! My goodness, an absolute bomb!
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling it up, Bender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.